Okay, it's a great opportunity to visit with everyone here today. I want to thank all who have come from far and wide. My mom worked for 33 years at a middle school, a public school in Illinois. Our family believes in public education. I think what's at stake in this election is our system of public education in Illinois. I believe in investing in public schools. I believe in taking positions in order to get the revenue, in order to make sure that we properly invest in our public schools across Illinois. As you know, in the last election, I ran on behalf of making sure that we use the income tax revenue in order to properly fund our schools. Was not easy, but with the help of the IEA, I was elected in 2010, and in the last 5 years that I've been governor, we've been able to invest more than $2.5 billion in more money for public education. That includes money for our teachers' pensions. I believe in making sure that our teachers have a properly funded pension. As governor, I'm the first governor in a very long time to pay every year the proper amount of money into the pension fund. A couple weeks ago, I proposed our budget in Illinois for this coming fiscal year, but really for the next five fiscal years, a blueprint to invest in education like never before in our state, from birth to five and early childhood education, to our K to 12, to our community colleges, and to our four-year public universities. You are the heart and soul of our education in Illinois. Your vocation of teaching is a proud and noble profession. And it's very important we honor that in our society. The best way to honor it is to have proper funding of education and use our income tax revenue, the tax based on ability to pay, to do exactly that. If we hadn't been able to use the income tax back in 2011, our schools would be in very difficult straits, to say the least, today. I do not believe in starving education. I believe in investing in our students and their teachers. I think it's super important we also honor all of those who work in the school. My mom was not a teacher. She was a paraprofessional. And we honor all of those who... For those who work in the cafeteria, for those who drive a bus, or for those who make sure that the school is in good shape every single day, thank you for your great commitment to all of us in Illinois. We have over 2 million students in public schools in Illinois. I'm not going to charterize this system of education in Illinois. Thank you very much.
Mr. Rauner.
Thank you very much. I am very honored to be with you here today. This is going to be fun. I look forward to a good conversation. You are the most important profession in our society. You are more important than doctors, more important than lawyers, more important than accountants, than engineers, than accountants. You hold the future of America in your hands every day. Our democracy depends on you. The quality of our life for our family depends on you. God bless you. Thank you for your work. I am running for governor of Illinois because I love this state. I'm not a politician. I've never run before. But I love this state passionately. I was born and raised here. We raised our six kids here. And I have a vision for how to improve the quality of life for every family in this state. You are core partners with me, I hope, in the future to realize that vision and that dream. There are two key components to my vision. One is to make Illinois the number one state in America for economic growth and job creation. The second is to make Illinois the number one state in America for the quality of its schools and its education system. And that means K to 12 schools, that means early childhood education, that means community colleges, that means universities, that means vocational training and technical training, which I would like to restore back into our public school system after it's been taken out. The two goals are totally aligned and totally connected. We can't do one without the other. We need world-class schools. We need our young people trained to fit the jobs that are available in today's economy. That is what we need to accomplish together as partners. I don't have all the answers. Nobody I know has all the answers. But I know we share the passion to make education world-class in Illinois. And I look forward to having a good dialogue and partnership with you to do that. After my parents and my grandparents, the number one person in my life who had the biggest impact on me is my third grade teacher. I was a rebellious youngster. I didn't care about school. Frankly, I didn't like school. I was unfocused and rebellious. My third grade teacher, she was incredible, passionate, disciplinarian, tough, rigorous, demanding, but also very, very compassionate, very caring, nice sense of humor while delivering a very tough message. She got me focused. She got me disciplined. She got me to care about school, and I owe a lot of my success in my life to her. I think about her all the time. We share the desire to have every student in Illinois have access to a great teacher every year. That should be our shared goal. We can do that together. Education needs to be invested in. It should be the top priority when we spend a taxpayer dollar. It should not be the bottom priority. It should not be used as a political football cut when it doesn't have to be cut in order to force tax hikes. To be clear, we cannot tax our way out of our problems. Not possible. We need to grow our way out of our problems. So we look forward to having a growth state. That's how we will fund our education. That's how we will fund our health care. And I look forward to going to work with you and for you to deliver that result.
Thank you, Mr. Rauner. So we will start the questions with you, Mr. Rauner. What is the single greatest barrier preventing all students in Illinois from having access to a great public education?
Boy, there are many barriers, unfortunately. We do not have great schools in every school district. We have a broken education funding formula in Illinois. We have defunded our schools in the last 5 years under our current administration. Our schools have been cut. The funding for our schools has been cut roughly $800 million. Early childhood education has been cut. K-12 education has been cut. We have cut throughout when we didn't have to cut, because education could have been kept at the top priority for our spending rather than down at the bottom and manipulated. That's wrong. We need proper funding of our schools. We need...
So you would say funding is one of the big barriers?
It's one.
Okay. Very good. I'm going to move you on We get... Governor?
Well, I do believe funding is important. It was $11.5 billion when I started as governor. It's $13.9 billion today. That's a lot more than when I began. And on our latest budget, we want to invest more money, $6.5 billion more in education over the next 5 years, a very healthy investment in early childhood education beginning this year. We believe in early childhood as the very best investment to get kids off to a good start. But we cannot forget to make sure that we well fund the teachers who are making sure our children learn. And I believe in doing that. I am not going to do what they did in Wisconsin. My opponent's role model. Up in Wisconsin, my opponent's role model, Scott Walker, busted the union and cut education funding. We're not doing that in Illinois. We're investing in our teachers and our students, and that goes from birth to our four-year public universities. I used to teach community college at night. I understand how important that system is to all of us in Illinois. We've got to make sure that we invest in education, and we have to have a governor with the courage to say to the people that using the income tax revenue to invest in education, that's the best investment we can ever make.
Okay. So we'll start with you. Both of you have mentioned funding in this first question. A student's zip code in Illinois is one of the most important factors in determining the quality of education he or she receives. So how would you specifically address the funding disparity for public education across our state? And I'm going to ask you all, you both again, to limit your...
All right. Well, we have to move away from a 19th century system of funding the most important part of the 21st century, educating our students. And I have proposed that in our budget. And it's very similar to what Governor Edgar proposed in 1997, using more income tax revenue and giving property tax relief to hardworking homeowners. I think that's the best way to go to get more money for our education. Governor Edgar the other day said, I'm doing the right thing. He happens to be a Republican. I'm a Democrat. But when it comes to investing in education, it's very, very important we move away from overburdening the property tax system and underfunding our schools based on the zip code of a young boy or girl. That defines how much money they have in their education. That's just plain wrong. And I've proposed a plan to do something about that. And we have to have people in the office of governor who are willing to take important positions and make these reforms that are long overdue.
Thank you. Mr. Rauner?
Funding of schools is critically important. My opponent in this race, Governor Quinn, has broken his promise to you, to our voters, to our taxpayers, our school children. Years ago, he said he would not change your pension, and he did. Years ago, he said, I will treat education funding as the top priority. What did he do? Cut education funding when he did not have to. Education in our state should be the top priority when we spend a taxpayer dollar. And let's be clear, we are a wealthy state. We are a prosperous state. We are losing our wealth and our prosperity by not growing our economy. We have got to grow our economy so we can properly fund our schools. That's got to be the critical priority. And I will make sure that education funding is the number one priority inside our state government budget. We're 49th out of 50 states in state support for education. I want to move us up dramatically on that ranking.
So let's move to the pension issue. Assuming the Illinois Supreme Court rules the 2013 pension reform legislation unconstitutional because it diminishes guaranteed benefits. Mr. Rauner, what would you do as governor?
I have been consistent throughout, and my opponents have spun my message, and I'm honored by the opportunity to have a real conversation with you. I'm the one political candidate and political office holder in this governor's race who does not want to change the deal for existing retirees or the existing accrued benefits in the pensions. I do not want to change that. What I want to do, what I recommend that we do together, is create a second pension plan in addition to and on top of the existing pension plan. And that should be a defined contribution plan, more of a 401k style plan, so that you can control your own retirement accounts rather than have the politicians taking money out for their other spending. And we can have a fair, affordable pension plan that's more like what the voters have in their own lives. That's what the voters have. That's fair and affordable, and it will save taxpayer dollars in the long run that can go to grow our economy so we have jobs for everyone in our state, and it will save money that we can then use to fund into the existing pension system to fill the hole that's been created by the politicians over the last 30 years. That's what I think is the best interest for all of us together.
Thank you.
It's more in my opponent's best interest, a risky 401k plan for our teachers of Illinois. No way. As long as I'm governor, we're never going to do that. In the coming budget, we're investing $4.9 billion to make sure that it's properly funded. Every single year I've been governor, I've done that. I believe that we might have to make sure that we have a defined benefit plan that pays the retirement of all of our people. Now, my opponent, we went before the teacher's retirement system, your retirement system, on May 23rd of 2003, and he wanted $50 million from that fund, your fund. And he didn't tell the people on that board that on that board was Stuart Levine. Stuart Levine, who was working for one of his firms, getting $25,000 a month. That failure to disclose to your pension fund something a very relevant fact is just plain wrong. And I'm saying to Mr. Rauner today, you should give back every single penny in fees you collected on that this $50 million investment.
Can I reply?
Okay,
that?
So let me... Let me ask you both again. This time I'm not going to assume. When the Illinois Supreme Court rules the pension reform unconstitutional, what would be your next step? Mr. Rauner?
I am very honored in my business career to have worked for teachers every year of my life. Teachers, teachers' pensions, teacher union members have been among the top funders of private equity and venture capital in America for the last 40 years. They are among the top investors in my firm. I have worked for teachers, state troopers, government workers, university students, university professors. I have worked for taxpayers and our school system for 32 years. And my firm and I have delivered fantastic results. The fund that the governor just referred to, that fund returned 25% for your pension. It more than doubled the stock market average returns over the last 30 years. It was phenomenally successful, and we've done that in virtually every year for the last 32 years. I'm honored to have worked for you and done a heck of a job for your retirement and save the taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars. I want to bring that success into our government, run our government efficiently and effectively and transparently, so we can have the money to fund our schools and invest aggressively in every way in our school system. That has got to be our top priority.
Thank you. Governor?
Well, I didn't hear him talk about returning the fees that he received on a $50 million investment where he breached an ethical duty to your pension fund. There's a duty of disclosure. I used to be the state treasurer of Illinois. I was a fiduciary. I was on a pension board. You're entitled to facts. Facts about the truth. The truth is that Stuart Levine, a convicted swindler, was on the payroll of one of his companies, and that he didn't tell the board about it. That's just plain wrong, and everybody knows that. That's a conflict of interest. Now, back to the issue of the pension. Now, I know everybody here doesn't agree with me. I know that. But I made a decision, and we'll let the court decide whether or not it was the right decision or not. I do want to work with the IEA and all of those who are concerned about our pension system in Illinois. We've got to erase the liability and do it in a way that's positive to make sure that everybody is given their due rights with respect to retirement. I'm not going to go to a 401k system that will take away the opportunity for many people to earn a decent retirement. I think there's a fundamental difference here, and we've got to make sure that we always maintain our defined benefit plan.
Okay, let's move on to your lieutenant governors. Governor, we'll start with you. What role would your lieutenant governor have in implementing your education plan?
Well, Paul Vallis believes in early childhood education. I'm going to really focus that assignment of our government, and he will play a role in that. I am the governor. I'm very interested in this particular issue of prenatal for our moms, making sure we have excellent early childhood education. Illinois has more three-year-olds in early childhood education than any state in the union. But in the budget that I've proposed, where we maintain our income tax revenue, we're investing far more in early childhood. Matter of fact, a group called Ounce of Prevention has saluted the budget I just proposed as the proper way to begin life, making sure our children are well educated. Paul Vallis will play a role in that. I think it's a very important role.
Thank you, Mr. Rauner.
My lieutenant governor is Evelyn Sanguinetti. One of the reasons that she and I decided to partner together to turn our state around is that she is as passionate about education improvement as I am. Her mother was a legal immigrant from Ecuador. Her father was a legal immigrant from, her mother was from Cuba, her dad from Ecuador. Evelyn struggled, food stamps, poverty. Her education was her opportunity for a better life in America. She deeply valued her teachers. She loved her opportunity in public education to achieve her dream. She went on to John Marshall Law School here in Chicago after growing up in Miami. She then became Assistant Illinois Attorney General under Jim Ryan. She's elected to the Wheaton City Council, and she's a leader in the Republican National Hispanic Assembly. And she's an adamant proponent for high-quality schools for everyone in Illinois. We share that dream. And my wife joins us in this mission. My wife has dedicated her life to early childhood education. That's what she does full-time. She takes no compensation or remuneration for it, but she's a CEO and leads a nonprofit organization in that field. Evelyn, Diana, and I, and our family is dedicated to education. We have spent decades donating and contributing, donating to programs to recruit teachers, to train teachers, to give merit pay to great principals, to fund scholarships for poor kids. We have dedicated our life and our financial resources to investing in high-quality education and improving our schools.
Okay, thank you both. We're now going to move to some specific questions for each of you. They get a little harder. So, Governor Quinn, since becoming governor, our state's unemployment rate has gone up, and the number of working adults in our state has declined. Despite increasing revenue, spending on public education has declined. Some in our union feel your position on pension reform and other education matters are making it more difficult to recruit and retain quality educators. What grade do you give yourself for your time as governor? I said they were harder.
Well,
when you have teachers.
My mother was in public education, as I said, for a third of a century. I think she'd give me an A+, and so I'll go along with that. Let's face the facts. I took office at the roughest time in Illinois history. We had one governor in jail, another one going to jail. We had the Great Recession that caused great harm to our budget. I had to navigate our state through those very tough times. At one time, Illinois' unemployment was 11.3. Today it's 8.6. We have lots more work to do. We have more people working in Illinois than ever before. And we want to keep doing that. We've created 257,000 jobs since the recovery began. But I do believe the key to a strong economy is investing in education. We have to understand that my opponent wants to cut the revenue that's investing in education. I was with a little girl the other day. Her name is Cadence Marie Robinson. She's in preschool. I gave her my business card. She started reading my business card, knew all the numbers, knew all the letters. And I said, Cadence, get ready. You're going to be governor someday. And when I was talking to her, I thought to myself, it's important that all of our citizens in Illinois understand the fundamental value of arithmetic. If you starve education funding, as my opponent wants to do, you will not have excellent schools. If we want excellent schools, we've got to pay for it. And that's why I take the position in the last election and in this one to make sure we invest in education. It's the best way to create jobs. Jobs follow brain power. And we're going to continue to invest in education as long as I'm governor.
Okay. Mr. Rahner, your question. You have repeatedly alleged that public sector unions, including the IEA, quote, bribe politicians with political donations and activities. At the same time, you have made large contributions to influence elections and help elect candidates with whom you relied on for millions in tax breaks and investment capital. Can you explain why you describe our union's political actions as bribery, yet your actions as good for democracy?
Franklin Roosevelt, one of the greatest presidents in American history, the strongest Democratic president in American history, the most pro-union president in American history, was deeply troubled by government unions. Deeply troubled. Because he said they're organized against the public. They're organized against, there's no there. It's us on the other side. And when in contract negotiations, one side can take money from the taxpayers, siphon it back and donate it in cash to the person on the other side of the negotiating table, that's a conflict of interest. It is. I mean, we could all, you know, be fussy about it, but it's a conflict. And I have never donated to a politician while being on the other side of a contract negotiation with them. Never done it. Never would. It's not right. And we have to be careful and cautious about that conflict. Because our real interest, and your interest as teachers, I know it, is about students and parents and homeowners. That's who you care about. That's who you care about. That's who your careers are dedicated to. The union has a job to do, and they do it well. And we should understand it, respect it. Their job is to negotiate pay and benefits and work rules and et cetera. That's fine. We should respect it. But we have to understand there needs to be a balance so that the students' interests, taxpayers' interests, homeowners' interests are protected as well. And that's a very fundamental thing in America. We need a balance of these interests.
Thank you. And Governor Quinn. Politicians in Illinois created our state's pension mess by failing to make their contributions. But IEA and the other WEAR 1 coalition members stepped up, and we presented a plan, Senate Bill 2404, which would have solved our situation. Our plan had broad bipartisan support, but you chose not to support it. Can you tell us why?
Well, we had to deal with the pension issue. We had a $100 billion liability. We had to get a bill passed. The bill that did pass, I know you did not support. You had a different bill that did not have majorities in either House or Senate. And so I signed the bill that did pass. I understand there will be judicial review by the Supreme Court ultimately, and we'll accept whatever decision they make. And I want to say to everyone here that if that particular law is not upheld by the Supreme Court, we'll go back and work with you on a law that will be upheld. But it is important to understand that I do believe in the pension system. I believe that we need to have that system and invest in that system. My opponent wants to wreck that system. He wants to take a sledgehammer to that system, take it away. And if you look at some of his role models, not only Walker in Wisconsin, but Mitch Daniels over in Indiana, his very first act as governor was to sign an executive order taking away collective bargaining rights from unions across Indiana. I believe in collective bargaining. I think that's the best way to go, and I look forward to working with you on it.
Mr. Rauner, Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin took away the collective bargaining rights of teachers in his state. It was reported in the National Review and elsewhere that you described Governor Walker as, quote, your political mentor. Will you elaborate?
I have studied with many of the great governors in America. Mitch Daniels, I think, was a terrific governor when he turned around Indiana, did many wonderful things. And unfortunately for us, Indiana is now kicking our tails. They are growing their economy. They're stealing our jobs. They're giving homeowners tax rebates. And they are really improving their school system. That's just true. Scott Walker's done some good things. Not everything do I agree with Scott Walker, but he's done many good things in Wisconsin. They're stealing our jobs. They're giving homeowners tax rebates. They're growing their economy. And they are working to improve their schools. Rick Snyder in Michigan, Jeb Bush in Florida, Chris Christie in New Jersey. I've been studying with many governors. Listening and learning. I want to learn so that we can bring ideas to Illinois. Not every idea works for Illinois. Not every idea will fit. I want to work with you to come up with solutions. We should have the best education system in America. And let me be clear about collective bargaining. Eliminating collective bargaining is not part of my agenda. It is not part of my agenda. I believe people should be free to join a union or not join a union. That should be their decision. It should be their decision whether to join or not. And if there's a union, they should collectively bargain. And one of the reasons that I opposed the pension reform bill, I was adamantly against the pension reform bill that got passed in the dark of night in November. It changed the historical pension arrangements and agreements that were already agreed to. That was wrong. It also did not structurally put in more of a defined contribution plan for the future, and that's what I think is the right answer for the long term. But it also took pensions out of collective bargaining, took it away from collective bargaining, and I disagree with that. That should be part of the collective bargaining process. I said it at the time, and I've said it every day. We have a union. We should collectively bargain. And I agree with them.
Thank you. Back to you, Governor. Last year, you signed the pension legislation that reduced member benefits and said that in doing so, you believe this would improve our state's credit rating and result in dramatic savings. Clearly, there will be no immediate savings. The Public Act is to be implemented on June 1st, and it is being challenged in court, as you know. If the bill is implemented and then found unconstitutional, it will be disastrous for the state and difficult for the state pension systems to unravel what has been done. Would you support a stay, effectively putting on hold the implementation of the bill until the courts have ruled on the constitutionality?
I'm open-minded on that. I think the various participants in this case have to request such a stay, as you just outlined, Cinda. The attorney for the state of Illinois is the attorney general. I'd be willing to speak to her about that very issue, but there must be a request for a stay. I think it is important to understand that since the enactment of that law, we have received good news from the credit rating agencies. And just yesterday, we issued $250 million of bonds and received quite an interest savings in the market. But I know this is a very controversial issue. On education funding, I think I'm the best person you're ever going to find in Illinois to fund our schools. I know you disagree with me on the pension issue, but please don't compare me to the Almighty. Compare me to the alternative over here.
Okay. Were you rebellious in school, too? Okay, Mr. Rauner. Your call to replace our pension system with a 401k is well-known, as you just stated. What is less well-known is you have publicly stated that teachers' salaries are artificially high. I'm specifically referring to an op-ed you wrote for the Chicago Tribune, which stated that the bosses of labor unions, and you specifically mentioned IEA here, and I'm quoting, IEA created a powerful closed-loop system with these unions and politicians on the inside, taxpayers and school children on the outside. It is a system that allows union bosses to bribe politicians with massive political support in exchange for salaries that are 23% higher than in our neighboring states, and even higher still than in the private sector. Can you please elaborate and explain to our members why you think the average teacher in Illinois should be paid less?
I do not believe teachers should be paid less. And that op-ed was referring to broadly government workers. And the data is out there. The data is out there. It wasn't specifically targeted to teachers. Here's the issue. We have to have a balance in our community. And we have to grow our economy. If we aren't a growth economy, we won't be able to fund our education system, our healthcare system, our infrastructure. Today, our tax burden is high and it's rising, and we cannot tax our way out of our problems. We can grow our way out of our problems by creating jobs, by growing our economy. Our current governor has failed miserably both on education funding and pension reform and in economic growth. In the last 5 years, unemployment in Illinois has increased more than in any other state in America. We have the highest unemployment rate in the Midwest, second highest in America. We have higher unemployment than Michigan. Good grief, folks. Come on. We don't have a future while this trajectory goes on. And education should be our top priority when we spend taxpayer dollars. And I can promise you this. Pat Quinn has broken his promises on pensions, on taxes, on education funding repeatedly. That's a fact. You guys know it. We can all look it up. I call it as it is. And I respectfully sometimes will disagree with you. But I'm a passionate advocate and ally for teachers. Always have been, always will be. You hold the future of our society in your hands. You deserve and need our support and respect. Every successful nation in the world that is highly successful reveres their teachers, cherishes them, honors them, compensates them well. And I believe great teachers should be paid very well. That's a fact. We need to reward great teachers. That's one of the reasons my wife and I have donated millions of dollars to teacher training and teacher development. My wife and I created the program to pay higher salaries to teachers in Illinois who would become nationally board certified, the best in their field. At first, the teachers union opposed us, but my wife and I funded hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to personally pay the higher salaries for the teachers who got nationally board certified. That's not something I would do if I thought teachers were overpaid. I finally lobbied in Springfield and got it into the state law so that teachers who got nationally board certified could make more money. I want to find every way possible to reward with higher compensation great teachers and great teaching. It's one of the most important things we can do.
Okay, thank you. Back to you, Governor. Many believe that your administration has backed out of a contract with another union, AFSCME. How can our members have faith that you will honor your commitment to educators?
Well, with respect to the AFSCME contract, and it also includes some other state unions that represent state employees, we just negotiated a contract. It took 15 months, but the contract was ratified by 93% of the AFSCME members and by the other unions. It's a contract that provided pay raises and also made savings for the taxpayers. It was a fair contract, and the ratification shows that. Now, prior to my arrival as governor, there was a contract negotiated that I believed in, and I put in the budget of our state of Illinois money to pay the raises under that contract. The House of Representatives, both Democrats and Republicans, their leaders, as well as in the House and Senate, they chose not to fund those pay raises in the last year. I went back to them and said they should fund the pay raises, and we've been back and forth ever since. We have funded as much as we possibly can. It's about $100 million short, and I will again this year say to the legislative leaders of both parties, both houses, they should fund those pay raises of that old contract. I didn't negotiate it, but I believe it should be paid. And I think that should be something that everybody here believes in with respect to your own contracts. Now, I do want to make it clear, the biggest threat to public education in our state of Illinois is my opponent. He wrote a op-ed in the Chicago Tribune saying teachers are overpaid. That's not right at all. Teachers deserve more pay. As long as I'm governor, we're going to look for every way we can to invest in your good work. And that's why I put forth a budget a couple of weeks ago that will invest over $6 billion more in education in Illinois to get us up to 100%. My opponent wants to roll back the income tax and starve our schools, underfund our schools. It's all about arithmetic. Don't listen to someone who wants to cut our education investment in Illinois, our schools. That's not a way to grow jobs. That's not a way to make a better Illinois. That's not a way to make sure our children have a bright future.
All right, thank you. Mr. Rauner, as I introduced over 1,100 people here today, they are elected leaders from our union. Are they the union bosses you refer to? If not, who are the union bosses?
One's you.
I am a proud union member.
Dan Montgomery, Henry Bayer, Keith Kelleher. That's who I'm referring to. Here's the issue, folks. We need to make our education system best in the world. That should be our goal. We share that goal. Teachers and I share that goal. I respect your agenda. I respect it very much. Cindy is a terrific leader. She's elected to do a job. She's elected by you to do a job. Mm-hmm. there's no one there on the other side of the negotiating table representing homeowners, small business owners, working families, you are too. That's right. That's exactly right. You're part of that too. That's why I have no issue with teachers at all. The union has a different agenda. It's okay. Cinda's doing her job. Cinda is doing her job, and she does it well, and I have great respect for that. But it has to be a balance and a negotiation, and the interests of all sides need to be respected and protected. That's just true. That's just true. And I want to work closely with you as partners to make our schools world-class, and we have got to make our economy world-class, grow our economy, in order to be able to do that. We can't fund our schools if we don't grow our economy, and we cannot tax our way out of our problems. Businesses are leaving, jobs are eroding, income is down, wages are down because we're so hostile to business under our current administration. Our current governor has failed on jobs and the economy, and he's misled you. He's saying all kinds of stuff today. Listen to him saying, well, money for this, money for that, fund this, fund that. He has broken his word to you for five years.
I'm going to have to ask you to...
Why should we believe it now?
We should not believe it now. I'm going to have to be boss and ask you to
stop. Okay.
I'm a proud leader of this union, and I just... and I just want you to know that I spent 25 years in the classroom.
So. Awesome. Well, God bless you. And thank you for that. Thank you.
So we're going to go to yes, no, answer questions. Let's start with Governor. Do you support shifting the employer's contribution to our retirement accounts from the state to local school districts?
No, not right now.
Mr. Rauner?
No.
Both of you say no. Okay. Mr. Rauner, would you support any new restrictions on collective bargaining rights of education workers?
No.
Absolutely not.
Governor, what do you think the minimum wage should be for someone who works in education?
Well, I believe the minimum wage law in Illinois should be at least $10.10. We passed that bill out of committee. It would be $10.65. With respect to those who teach in our schools and work in our schools, I think it should be far higher. I'm running against a billionaire over there who wants to cut the minimum wage.
Mr. Rauner.
I believe in the issue of the minimum wage that we can increase it in Illinois if we make some pro-business changes, changes in workers' comp, tort reform, and tax reform, so businesses can afford to pay a higher minimum wage. I'll support raising it in Illinois. And, by the way, I've done well financially. I have. And I'm proud of it. America... I want every one of you, everyone in your family, and every young person in this state to be able to maximize their potential, and together in our school system, we will allow that. That I look forward to working with you to do that. America is about hard work and success, which is what I've done, and then it's about giving back, which I've done. My wife and I have donated millions of dollars to help improve education. We look forward to working with you in many ways to come up with new ideas together to improve our schools. I'm very excited to go do that.
Okay, we're going to go back to two questions that both of you can answer, and then we'll move to closing. The first question, back to you, Governor. What is your position on vouchers that divert public education dollars to private schools?
I'm absolutely against vouchers. I was here 4 years ago. I made that position crystal clear. I don't think vouchers are a way to go. I believe in public education, neighborhood, community school.
I believe that voucher programs should be made available in school districts that are not achieving their goals. And parents should be empowered to have school choices. I think it's one of the most important principles that we can have in our school system. And it's not fair for low-income families who can't afford to move or can't afford to go to a private school or parochial school to be trapped in a failing school. And my wife and I have funded, with millions of dollars, scholarships for poor children so they could choose their school in whatever format they'd like, as well as the various voucher programs. And I do support those.
Okay, we'll go to you now for the next one. Just last week, the Sun-Times published results of another new independent study on charter schools. As the headline stated, the study concluded that charter schools show little difference in school performance. That was the quote. What role do you believe charters play in the public school system?
I believe that charter schools should be part of our system. They're not the only answer. They're not a perfect answer. But I believe they should be an option and should be made available. And my wife and I are among the biggest donors to charter schools. And one thing I want to be clear about, some folks mistakenly believe we make money from funding charter schools. These are donations. These are contributions to not-for-profit schools, that they're public schools. And I believe parents should have options and choices. Charters could be part of that. But they're not an only solution. I believe there are other answers that we can find together. Better use of technology, better teacher training, better teacher development, merit pay programs, things we can do together to help improve our education system. I'm all about innovation and options and choices.
Well, I think public schools should come first. You know, this whole charter movement, I was reading in the paper the other day, a little girl, I guess somebody sneezed in class. She said, "God bless you," and she got some kind of fine or discipline for saying that. I think we got to take a hard look at some of the operations of charter schools. They've got to be transparent. They've got to be held to the same standards. And let's put things in perspective.
I agree with that.
But let's put things in perspective. There are 2 million students in Illinois in public schools. We've got to invest in their education. I think there's about 60,000 or so in the charter schools. So we really got to make sure the priority is the public school. It has to have proper investment. We cannot have a state that cuts back on funding of our neighborhood schools. That's a prescription for disaster. And this opponent over here, my opponent in running for office, he doesn't believe in investing in public schools because we won't have the revenue to do it. It's simple math, and we've got to understand how important that is to the future of Illinois.
Okay. We're going to head into closing remarks. Both of you have commented on people who influenced you. Governor, many times you've mentioned your mother, a paraprofessional, and Mr. Rauner, you mentioned your third grade teacher. So our members here today are pre-K through higher ed. We have students going into the field of education. We have retired members. We have our support professionals who work in our schools. And all of us know that being a guide and a help and inspiration for our students is what we're about. So we appreciate the fact that you can actually name people who did that for you. So we're going to go in reverse order. Mr. Rauner, you'll get to go first in your closing statement, couple minutes. But please include in your closing statement how you would work with IEA and our members.
Great. That is one of the primary reasons I'm running for office, is to work closely with teachers. My wife and I have dedicated much of our lives to working with teachers. I've spent 32 years doing two things as the top priorities, two things fundamentally: helping entrepreneurs build businesses and helping teachers improve schools and education in Illinois. That's where I've spent my time and our financial resources, and I'm very passionate about it. Where I get my values, one of my biggest mentors, in addition to my third grade teacher, is my grandfather. My grandfather didn't speak English growing up in Wisconsin. He spent much of his life living in a little double-wide trailer. He had dairy cows and corn. He was a union member, proud union member. He was in a butter-making factory in Madison and Whitewater and other communities. He was all about hard work, education. He said to me, Bruce, always work your hardest. Always get a good education. Go as far as you can in school. It's the most important way to make your life better. And he said, always give back in your community because everybody in the world needs some help. That's a big deal to me. Those words have guided my life. I have tried to maximize my education because my grandfather said go do it. I've worked my tail off for you and other teachers around America so you could have a better retirement. And I've done a heck of a job for you, and I'm proud of it. And I've given back. My grandfather, he would always put $2 in the collection plate, even when he didn't have $2. He'd scrounge it up because it mattered in his community. I've done well financially, and my wife and I are very engaged in giving back in every way we can. Health clinics, Red Cross, YMCA. But number one priority for us has been early childhood education and improvements both in universities and K-12 schools. We're not going to agree on everything. It's okay. I don't, you know, agree with myself some mornings. It's okay. You know what? But we all share a passion that education should be world-class for every student. And education should be the top priority when we spend a taxpayer dollar. And I'm excited to go to work for you and with you to improve schools in Illinois. Thank you.
Thank you. Governor?
Well, my brother's a teacher. My aunt was one of the first women ever to graduate from Notre Dame. My mom, as I mentioned, has worked in the public schools for many years, and she's 96 years old. And she understands how important it is for every single boy or girl in Illinois, every student, to get a good education. Teachers are our heroes. They sacrifice some of their present to help their students' future. They oftentimes take money out of their own pocket to help their school and their students. We've got to invest in our students, invest in our teachers. The best way to do that is with our state budget. Don't be confused by those who say, tax less, spend less. That means learn less. I want to have a learn more society. That's how we're going to grow. That's how we're going to get more jobs. We're not going to be demonizing teachers or those they elect to be their leaders. I respect Cinda. I've worked with Cinda when I was state treasurer, when I was lieutenant governor, and when I'm governor right now. I think it's very important that we not let loose a virus in Illinois where the governor of Illinois runs down leaders of unions and associations that are very important to our way of life in Illinois. The people who teach deserve representation. They deserve a decent budget in their school. They deserve a decent paycheck and benefits as well. And someone who has written an op-ed in the Chicago Tribune saying that teachers are overpaid, he's just plain wrong. And I think it's important that in this campaign, and it'll be a fiercely struggled campaign, you were with me before in 2010 when I said we needed to use income tax revenue to invest in education. And we won that election because the people know what the truth is. We're not going to listen to those who can't add things up. We've got to make sure we invest in our education like never before. That's what my budget does, and together we'll make the will of people the law of the land. Thank you very much.
So we thank you both for coming.
Thank you.
We know this is going to be an interesting campaign. Mm-hmm. And we will be, of course, inviting you to our committee to be interviewed.
Look forward to it.
Very good. So
thank you all very, very much.
Okay. Well done.
Governor, thank
very
you.
Well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, here we go.
Thank you.
I think they're gonna.
Okay. Oh, you're good to see you, Audrey. Yeah. I guess I got my speaker right. Okay. I'll follow you out. Okay.